Book of Isaiah, chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse 1. In the year of the death of King Uzziah, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Seraphim was standing above him. Each had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he flew. And one called to the other and said, Holy, holy, holy is Jehovah of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. And I said, Woe unto me, for I am undone. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, Jehovah of hosts. I just felt I wanted to say something about the holiness of God, particularly verse 3. And one called to the other and said, Holy, holy, holy is Jehovah of hosts. I understand in ancient languages such as what Isaiah was writing in here, in order to emphasize something, they would repeat the word. So you get holy, holy, holy three times. Similar to when the Lord said, verily, verily. Everything the Lord said was important, but when he said, verily, verily, it was really time to sit up and listen, because he was about to say something very important. And verse 3 here, we get it three times. Holy, holy, holy. We never get God described as love, 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 for example. And maybe sometimes we have a overemphasis on God's love to the exclusion of God's holiness. We perhaps think that God's love, the unconditional love of God, and everything will be okay. But holiness characterizes everything that God does. When it's wrath, it's holy wrath. When it's mercy, it's holy mercy. And when it's love, it's holy love. You get that multiple times, particularly in the Old Testament. The man who touched the Ark of the Covenant and was struck down. Moses, when he saw the burning bush, he was told to remove the sandals off his feet, because this was holy ground. And God says to him there, he said, I am the God of Abraham, of Jacob and Isaac. And perhaps sometimes we need to be reminded as well of who exactly God is, who exactly we're communicating with. This is a holy God. Even Peter in the New Testament, when he saw the Lord, he said, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. The person of the Lord Jesus is no less holy, because he's, of course, God himself. And I think if we got a sense of God's holiness, it should affect our walk and it should affect our worship. There were two men, weren't there, in one of the early books, Nadab and Abihu, who offered a strange fire to God. This wasn't like a different coloured fire or something like that. It was a fire that was taken from a different place. It wasn't following God's command, and they didn't have a sense of who God was, his holiness and his majesty and his greatness. And they were perhaps indifferent, perhaps. The old expression, isn't it, familiarity breeds contempt. And it's so easy, isn't it, to forget that, yes, God is a God of love, but he also is a holy God, and he's a righteous God. And that when we approach God, we need to have a reverential fear of who exactly he is. They didn't grasp that, those two men. And it's so easy for us to fall into that same trap, to not grasp the majesty and the glory of who we are communicating with and whose presence we can come into. We have liberty and boldness to enter in. We have this new and living way. But the character of God hasn't changed. He's still holy. He's still righteous. We have this wonderful way that we can enter into his presence. But the character of God hasn't changed. He's still holy. He's still righteous. Holy, holy, holy is Jehovah of hosts. And our worship should reflect that. John 4 says that he must be worshipped in spirit and truth. We don't get to choose the way that we approach God. God set it out quite clearly. He must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. And the goodness and the greatness of God should affect our hearts, so that we come into his presence and we worship in the way that he has set out. We have this wonderful new and living way. It's not something to be scared of in the sense. It's not quite the same as what we get here in Isaiah. It's not quite the same as it is there, but we still should have that sense of awe and that sense of who we're coming into contact with, especially on a Lord's Day morning, the sense of being in God's presence and His holiness and His majesty and His greatness and His power should really affect our hearts as we come before Him through Christ to be able to worship Him in that time. And I said it should affect our worship, and it should also affect our walk. We've already been hearing tonight about how important it is for a Christian's life to be holy and blameless. Mm-hmm. And we should remember that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You think of how much care and how much attention went into the Old Testament temple. And we should take the same care over our own bodies. We should think about the words that we speak, the things that we do, the places we go. Mm-hmm. Because our bodies are temple of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that's something that perhaps I need to be reminded of more than anybody, that we have dwelling within us the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that's something really important, I think, to remember. It's a privilege, but it's also a responsibility, that we're not under our own control. We need to remember that we're, as we were reminded, bondmen to righteousness. We're here to do God's will. Mm-hmm. And we're energized to do that by the Holy Spirit. And I think if we get a sense of God's holiness, as Isaiah did here, we can be used of God. Well, I didn't read it, but over the page, the next thing that God says is, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And mm-hmm. Isaiah said, "Here I am, send me." And I think perhaps if we get a sense of who God is, we get a sense of God's holiness, we're able to be used by God in a much greater way. Mm-hmm. Isaiah had to go through this whole event here, and it's only after this cleansing in verse 6 and 7 of the glowing coal, it's only after that and this magnificent vision that Isaiah has, that God is able to then use him in a way that is the rest of the book sort of opens up. Mm-hmm. And then I guess really the best verse to describe that is in Peter chapter 1 and verse 15, where it says, "But he who has called you is holy, be ye also holy in all your conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Mm-hmm. We should walk in holiness, and by spending time in the presence of a holy God, I think we're able to take more and more character of this mm-hmm. holiness, and so that we're able to walk our lives and live our lives down here as being holy and acceptable to a holy and a righteous mm-hmm. God. That can only be done through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's something that we need to understand. I need to understand more and more, so that I have this holy person dwelling within me who is able to help me, focus my attention on following the commands that God has set out in His Word. We need to remember, as I said at the beginning, God is a God of love. We have a wonderful and new and living way to enter into His presence, but His character hasn't changed. He's a holy God. And I think it would do us well to remember that when we come to worship Him, when we come to communicate with Him, when we pray before Him in our private lives and collectively, that we are interacting, we're communicating with a God who is love, with a God who is also a holy and a righteous God. Amen. Amen.